Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Cruz. Welcome to the LeadX Show, where we're helping you to stand out and to get ahead. Today, we're broadcasting live to our Facebook audience. And podcast listeners, if you want to be notified when we go live on Facebook, just go to LeadX Life and like the page and turn on notifications. By the way, if you just want more LeadX every day, search on LeadX Life on your favorite social media channels, Instagram, Snapchat, wherever, and we'll be there and you can follow along. Today's the weekly wrap-up show. We take our time, we get to rant about miscellaneous stuff, and we get to answer some of your questions. And of course, I'm joined by LeadX editor, Tara Millett. Hey there, Tara.
Hello, Kevin.
I know we're going to be doing fan mail, reviews, whatever, questions. But what is going on? Anything fun going on?
I mean, I don't know about you. I had some great leftover Halloween chocolate, and I've come up with a really great, I think, trustworthy theory that discount or leftover Halloween chocolate for the next week after doesn't count as calories.
You got a 1 week reprieve?
Yes, because, you know, at that point, you're just kind of, you know, getting rid of the leftovers and kind of getting more bang for your buck and saving yourself maybe hardship in the future when it's just kind of chocolate lying around for a month. So that's what I'm working on right now. And it's going really well. It's very tasty.
That's good. That's good. This Halloween was the first year where all my kids they're getting older. So they're out doing their own thing and going to parties, not really trick or treating. And I ended up, well, I ate some of it, but I gave out pretty much all the candy on Halloween night and my kids
really
don't have candy. So literally, I mean, I might have like one little box of Nerds. I don't know if you know what those are, like upstairs.
Ooh, yeah.
Other than that, there's no candy sitting around. There's no candy sitting around.
I mean, we didn't have any trick or treaters, so I had to count on my boyfriend bringing back candy from the office. So, but he brought back quite a few handfuls, and I was like, you know what? It doesn't count when they're that tiny, and you know, it's just like nothing. So now I've had a few for breakfast. So
you guys still doing the yoga thing, even 5 minutes? Maybe?
I was worried you were going to bring that up, but yeah. I'm happy to report we did get off for a little bit because it's getting colder out. Right. It's darker in the mornings. It's really hard to adjust to that kind of new morning schedule that you get when the seasons start to really change. And so it was really rough for the last 3 days or so. We didn't, but today we got up and we did it. And I think we're going to try and get back on track. So
good for you.
So far, so good. Yeah. I'm not aiming for perfection. We already knew that. So
that's right. We're not competing with anyone else, you know, no perfection. Things are good. I jotted a couple notes of just some interesting things I stumbled on, some ideas over the last week, which I don't always do that on this weekly show. But like, I think there are like four like big keys to success, whether you're trying to become best-selling author or the six-pack abs or money or whatever. And like one of them is your social capital, your social network. So I'm always interested in like hearing about how other people build their networks and all that kind of stuff. And I'm a massive introvert, a very shy, so I'm horrible at it. And I did stumble just in the last week on a couple of things that I thought was interesting. And I read an article, it was in Entrepreneur Magazine, probably the current issue. And the guy's name who wrote it, Josh Steimel. And he gave this tip for like, if you're going to a conference, you can actually basically connect with all of the speakers who are at the conference, and which is pretty cool because they're usually the ones that are the influencers, you know, the movers and shakers. And his technique is that when he goes to a conference, he makes a project out of it. Like he will say he's, you know, writing a blog post or an article or something on tips or something like that. And then ahead of the conference, he reaches out to all the speakers and he says, hey, I'm working on this article or this post on top leadership tips or lessons learned from failure, whatever that theme is, something short and easy. And then he says, you know, after your talk, I would love to just spend 2 minutes with you to get your tips to be included in, you know, my wrap up post. And he said, they all say yes, like they're there anyway. It's easy. They don't have to like carve out a lunch or a dinner. It's just like, yeah, if I'm walking off the stage, sure, I'll give you a few minutes and give you my thoughts on this topic. So then he goes and he basically lines up his schedule with all the speakers that he wants to network with, picks their brain, writes that thing up, sends it to them as a follow-up. And he says it's like a great way to, even if you're shy, it kind of gives you a purpose and a reason to go up to these people. So I don't know. I thought that was pretty clever. Hadn't heard of that before.
That's excellent. And that kind of goes with the interview that we had a few weeks back about getting a mentor and about trying to find a way to give them value. So it's not just feeling like you're asking them for help all the time. Right. And that's a great way of doing that, of saying, hey, I'm writing an article. I'd love to include you in it. And here it is. And you can share it if you want or talk about it if you want. And I think that's a nice, easy, simple way for people to kind of make that connection and not feel like they're, you know, just taking the whole time and not giving.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think when it comes to the speakers at these events, as I was thinking more about this article and my own experiences, in some ways it's easier to network with them than a stranger just sitting next to you. They don't really have anything in common with. And what I think a lot of people don't realize, I ran an association, a nonprofit association for 5 years, had to, you know, hire like very expensive keynote speakers, Dan Ping, people like that. And if you were in the audience, what you would see is, you know, 30 seconds before the keynote person's coming on stage, you see them off to the side and then they're introduced, they walk on stage. And then like the minute that they're done, they come down the stairs and then there's a handler, like someone from my team would be there to kind of grab by the elbow to guide them out the side door or back or whatever. And if you're looking at that, it's like, oh, it's Mr. or Ms. Important and they don't want to hobnob with those commoners and they're too successful and busy for me. But in most of those cases, and as a speaker, you know, I do 1 to 2 talks a month. That's not really what's going on. It's not the speaker that's wanting to be like rushed on and off. Usually you got to hang around and wait for your ride or your plane or whatever it is. It's the organizers that are, they think they're being nice and trying to get you to the green room or something, or they've lined you up for like a VIP event with like the board members or something else. So when you see the speakers like thinking they're all just too busy for you, that's not them. That's what's going on by the handlers. And anytime that like I'm walking off stage, and sometimes they have to get us off because there's another speaker coming up afterwards. They just got to like clear you off the stage. But anytime someone kind of comes up to me and says, hey, do you have just a minute? I always go to the back of the room or step out in the hallway because I'd rather go, you know, meet people and talk to people and meet readers than go back to the green room or get to the airport 3 hours early and sit in the lounge. So I think, you know, when speakers are out doing their keynote, they want to meet their fans. They want to exchange ideas. And it just made me realize that from this article in Entrepreneur that like those are in some ways easier people to connect with. They're there to meet people. They're there to get their message out. You've just seen them talk. You compliment them. You give them advice, whatever you want to do. But it's they'll take the card. They'll take the meeting. Whether or not they follow up, I don't know. We always follow up. I always follow up. But I don't know if everyone does. But that was it. It's sort of like networking with the stars tip of the week.
That's great. You know, when Katrina and I were at Conscious Capitalism, it was kind of intimidating to go up to people. But after you do it once or twice, you kind of start realizing, well, hey, this is about people gathering who love leadership or motivating people. So they're not the kind of people who are going to just, you know, dismiss you. So it's okay right. to approach. But yeah, I think that's a great lesson. It's a great tip.
So let's see. I think we've got some iTunes reviews we're going to read next, right?
Yeah, I actually have 2 because I liked both of them quite a bit. So nice. For both of these folks, reach out afterwards and we'll send you some swag. But the first one is from Princess Rose Love.
Hey, we're getting the royalty now.
I love it. So she says, great podcast. Kevin interviews industry leaders. The guest and Kevin give real life solutions and techniques to the listener. If you want to be a better leader, you must subscribe and listen. That's a royal stamp of approval right there. Whoa. Yeah, pretty great. And our next iTunes review of the week is from Annette's Guy. And Annette's Guy says, This podcast has become my one daily must listen. I love the balance between the big ideas and the daily challenge to apply them. I have heard that intelligence is being able to learn from your own mistakes, and wisdom is being able to learn from the mistakes of other people. Kevin dishes out the raw ingredients for wisdom. The rest is up to you.
Hey,
that's a slick review.
Annette's guy has some writing chops. I like that. Kevin dishes the raw ingredients for wisdom. The rest is up to you. I like that a lot.
Right.
And because you read those are iTunes reviews of the week, they can both send us an email, right, with their shipping address. We'll send them some Lead X swag. I know we've been sending out t-shirts. We've been sending out coffee mugs. And by the way, everybody who's watching or listening, if you leave a review on iTunes and then let us know, just email us at info@leadx.org. We will, everybody gets invited who leaves a review into our LeadX Ambassador Program. That's our VIP private Facebook group. We ask each other questions, help each other out. And I've been asking a lot of questions related to some of the training and the books that we're doing. We just shipped out like almost 20 free books to people who participated as ambassadors. So it's like, and we want to do more of that. So if you've already left a review and never told us, tell us and we'll invite you into the ambassador group. Or if you want in that ambassador group, go leave a review and then let us know. We'll let you in and I don't know, you'll have fun and get free stuff. Doesn't get better.
Yeah,
than that.
Free swag. Who doesn't like that? That's awesome. Okay, so I think we're ready for questions. I am, if you are.
I am ready.
All right, and a reminder to everyone out there in Facebook Live land: feel free to go ahead and put up a question. I know it can feel intimidating, but we're here and we're happy to answer. So please go for it, and we'll get to it near the end. All right, first question. I remember what you said about building your connections before you need them and have been working on it by openly adding people on LinkedIn who are either accepting links or those who are within a small enough number of links that I can ask someone to introduce us. I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on the lion movement on LinkedIn?
Okay. Do we have a name? We don't have a name on that one.
No, we do not.
That's fine. So... Yeah, so this is on a couple of shows a while ago. We were, I'm a big believer. Again, this wasn't a setup, but it was like networking, social capital. That's a big driver of success. And I think not enough people are using LinkedIn in general. And LinkedIn has made some changes to make it a pretty hot social media platform. It's gotten really active. And so there's that old saying, dig your well before you're thirsty. And this is the same thing. You really need to build your network, build up your social capital before you need them to find your next job or you need an expert or a referral or anything else. And the LION movement, L-I-O-N, it stands for LinkedIn Open Networker. And see, LinkedIn was designed and has some built-in controls where if I wanted to... connect on LinkedIn with Tara, I would have to send her an invitation and she and most of the other people on LinkedIn would be like, well, do I know them or not? If I know them, yes. If I don't know them, then no. And even when we're connected, I can only usually see like one level past Tara and I need to ask permission or ask for that introduction to be made. People who use that word lion on their profile, they basically say, I will connect with anybody. So I will connect with complete strangers. And for a while, this idea, like early on in LinkedIn's days, it got pitched to the founders of LinkedIn saying, hey, you guys got this wrong. It's the power of loose ties. So you want everyone on the planet to be connected to everyone else. And then we've got these loose ties. LinkedIn said, nah, that's not our style. We're not going to ban you from doing a lion thing, but that's not going to be our default. So here's the way I think about it. I think that, if you're still below 500 connections, it's very important to get above 500 because that's then you get like a 500 plus symbol. And that tells recruiters and people who might be hiring like, oh, you know, this person's a real player. They got mojo, you know, with their social capital. If you have less than 500, it kind of looks bad these days. So if you're not above 500, go search on all the people that have that word lion in their name and go, hey, I'd like to connect. And you'll get past that 500 mark pretty easily. I also think that if you're like just a regular, professional, and you don't spend a lot of time proactively networking, content marketing, building your brand, then being a lion or going after the lions is a fine strategy, again, to just help you to connect with more people. The downside is, if you start connecting with everybody, as I usually do, you're going to end up with 10,000, 20,000, up to 30,000 connections. So you start to get a lot of spam in your LinkedIn email and sometimes in your regular email. To me, that's the only downside. When you're connecting with anybody, you get some garbage, you know, in, you know, communication mixed in with that. And I would add, for those of you who are entrepreneurs who are already doing like a lot of content marketing, articles, other ways for people to connect with you, then maybe you don't need to be a lion or go after the lions, because you've got other ways to make these connections. So in general, like, I think it's a good idea. It's just that, do you want quality? You know, once you're above 500, it becomes more about quality, less about quantity. So I don't know. It sounds like I just rambled that answer, Tara. What, how are we doing?
No, I think that makes sense. You know, I feel like there's so many theories about the right way to approach connections on LinkedIn. And I kind of, I'm of the school of thought that there's no right or wrong, really. I mean, if you feel like opening up your connections and just kind of connecting to anyone who's willing, you never know what might come of that. And then later on, if you say to yourself, you know what, I think I need to get a little more specific, you can go ahead and do that. I don't think there's any one way to approach it. Yeah. So if you feel like what you want to do is just get as many connections as you can and open up your world a little bit, that's great. And then later on, you can always choose to prune or be a little more selective. But like you said, I think it does look good to have above that 500. I'm still working on that. but you know, I'm even now I'm surprised at how many people accept my invitations, even though we've never met. We might have, you know, four or five people in common. So there's like a good common ground. So I don't feel awkward kind of sending out an invitation. Yeah. But I think in general, people are usually open. And if they're not, you know, you just keep moving on and you keep trying your best. So I think there's multiple ways of doing it. And I don't think any one way is better than another. All right. You ready for the next one?
I am.
This one's interesting. Okay. This is from Jim. It says, we are running a Montessori school and have absenteeism issues with some of the teachers. We've completed surveys with them, and the biggest complaints are job recognition and communication, which we are addressing. In the meantime, we've been lax in communicating with staff who seem to get sick on Mondays and Fridays. We started sitting down with them the day they come back to work and asking, you know, how are you feeling today? Is there anything we could do? And then we talk about how their absenteeism has affected everyone on the day that they were off. Do you think this is an effective strategy, or do you have any other recommendations?
Yeah, this is a great question. And I mean, the short answer, Jim, is I think you are doing the right thing. You're sitting down and providing some communication, some feedback for them. And it sounds like you're following a model, which is what we at LeadX like to do. In fact, Tara, you came up with the acronym of BIG, B-I-G. So if you're giving feedback to an employee, a team member, you would want to state the behavior that is the issue, you know, good or bad, the impact it's having on others, and then get agreement that they understand that impact and, you know, what the new plan is going to be. So it sounds like the people who are taking sick days on Mondays and Fridays, you know, you're grabbing them saying, hey, listen, you know, you called out sick on late notice these days. And the impact is, it's an impact on the kids in their education, it's impact on the other staff. And that's really tough for us. And then if you're not already, then, you know, you just need to make sure they're understanding the impact, that they see what they're doing has an impact, and that they are really taking sick days when they're really sick. Now they might say like, yeah, well, I really was sick, or you don't want me getting around these kids when I've got the flu, do you? You know, kind of thing. So, I mean, that can be tough, but I think just doing what you're doing and following that program so they don't think like it doesn't matter or nobody cares or it's okay. I mean, that's pretty much all you can do. The only other thought that came to mind is just, you know, what is the policy on sick days? And like you were saying before on the LinkedIn stuff, Tara, I don't think there's any one right thing. Like for at LeadX, you know, we have an open policy on sick and vacation days. I feel like, you know, we're not in a 9-to-5 factory. And if someone's wants to take a Friday off, but they're going to work some on Saturday, then like, I don't even care. Like, I don't even want to know about it. And if anything, I think when the issue is with most white collar workers, at least of a certain age, you know, when it's left open like that, the problem is actually that they don't take enough vacation. They don't take enough days off. And you really need to, you know, set a standard or set that policy. I think, though, what the downside I've seen in other organizations, if you tell someone like this year you get this many holidays and this many sick days, they view sick days as like theirs to take about, like use them or lose them. Well, I got three more days left. That's the next three Fridays in a row. You know, they think of it as comp time. So I don't know what the policy is at this Montessori school, but I would look at that. Like, is it that it's unlimited and maybe now you need to limit it so that you have, you know, some recourse if they're abusing that policy, or maybe they're using them up because they think they're theirs and you need to take them away and make it an open policy. I don't know the answer on that, but that's something I would look at.
Definitely. I think that's a great point because, as I'm sure you've read, there's tons of articles and research out there that say that open policy when it comes to sick days and personal days, people end up taking way less, actually, because they feel like they have this freedom. When, like you're saying, if you have 13 days or what have you, and you feel like, you know, you can't transfer them over at the end of the year, you may as well just take a day off every week for the next month. You know, that happens. That actually happened to a friend of mine who works at a college, and you can't transfer them. So, you know, he had like 3 day weeks for like 1 month, you know, leading up to January, which is, you know, super great. But right. As a workplace, you know, it's better to kind of keep people there consistently. So that might be a great thing to look at. And I know it's tough, you know, especially with teaching. My sister's a teacher down in Mexico. And, you know, when you're around kids, it's hard. You do get sick often and you don't want to make them sick. So it's tough. But it sounds like what Jim's talking about is a kind of consistent absenteeism, which is a bit different. But exactly what he's doing is exactly what we've talked about multiple times. So I think it's definitely the right move.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have one more, don't we?
Yes, we do. Actually, this one's about productivity and it's from Tom. And he says that I am overwhelmed with projects. And besides making a pact with myself to earn $600K in revenue by the time I'm 65, 2 years away, I do not know what my MIT is each day. Help, would love any advice.
Tara, you know what? This is how weird I am. So here's Tom, who we don't know.
Here we go.
And he's obviously killing it. He's got this great goal, $600,000 in annual revenue by the time I'm 65 years old. And my first thought is like, that's my second thought is, wow. My first thought is, it should be 650 by 65. Like, I want the 65s to line up.
You want the symmetry.
Yeah, I want the symmetry, right. I want to see our goals, our big Harry Dash's goals as like poetic statements. And I don't like when I'm teaching leading for employee engagement, I talk about creating a future vision and all this. And my favorite example is Coca-Cola has had for a while now, their whole strategic plan, their whole program is called Coca-Cola 2020 Vision. And 2020 stands for the fact that they're going to double their revenue 2020 by the year 2020. So isn't that clever? 2020 vision, double our revenue by the year 2020. And so I'm always like looking at little rhymes and stuff. And so like, even with, with LeadX, you know, I want us to spark like 100 million leaders around the world by when? 10 years, because it's 10 and 100, 10 and 100. If you said, well, how about 11 or how about 9? I'm like, no, that's horrible. That's a dumb goal, Tara. It's got to be 10.
But I think that's a weirdly good point. Like, it's like, it should be kind of poetic. It should feel like it's this fate-filled moment, right? It should feel like this momentous thing in the future. So I kind of like that. It's kind of gets in your bones a little bit, you know?
So our first advice is, Tom, you're doing it all wrong and you're going to fail unless you make it 650K by the time you're 65. That's our first piece of advice. But
I like it.
So, Tom, when it comes to the MIT, even like the whole point is to be thinking about that future goal and break it down into little like dominoes that are going to get turned over to reach that goal. So many of us fill our days, weeks, months with either, you know, the urgent and the fires or even legitimately cool business building stuff. So it feels good and we're making progress and our income's going up, the company revenue's going up, but it's not the right levers for our number one goal. So unfortunately, I don't know a lot about the world of, you know, it's like personal finance and things. I know Tom is in, but like if the 600K in revenue is the goal 2 years from now, I would say, okay, what's the goal for next year? Say the year 2018. And let's say that's 500K or whatever. So 500K, okay, fine. And if you're making 300K now, you need to come up with $200,000 more of income in the next 12 months and change. And you need to think through, well, okay, what's it going to take to come up with $200,000 more dollars of income? And if you're a financial planner, like, I don't know, is it 100 more customers because their average assets are $100,000 and you get 1% managing their assets? Or is it like, no, 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 you're a high wealth individual advisor, so you just need 10 new, you know, wealthy clients? Like, I don't know that math, but you'd literally break it down. So it's like, what's your goal at each year? And in the upcoming year, how do you break it into those individual components? And let's just say you need to recruit 100 new clients in a year. Okay, how are you going to do that? You're going to hire some people to do cold calling? Are you going to triple the number of presentations you're doing at the local libraries? Are you going to write and publish a book and use readers of your book? So you have to think about the tactics to trigger those dominoes. And then, you know, what do you do today with the little bit of time you can fight for your MIT? 15 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe you could do an hour. First thing in the morning, it's like, okay, I need to start looking for that cold caller, or I need to personally send out 100 emails to find one person today that might want to hear my presentation or something. You know, I don't know that world. Everyone's different, but that's how you do. You just, what's that big domino? And then break it down step by step by step by step, all the way into like, okay, well, what's the domino I can tip over today to get there?
That's super interesting. So you're saying kind of backwards engineer from your goal, essentially.
Yeah, that's right. Stay focused on that future goal. And as you said, reverse engineer that thing.
I think that's super interesting, you know, because Tom, to be honest, I definitely struggle with my MITs most weeks too. It's hard to identify urgent versus important versus, you know, something maybe you've been delaying or something that you know needs to get done and you'd rather get it underway. And I like to think of it as you know, sometimes I need it to just be a guiding kind of light throughout my week. Okay, I know I need to get this one thing done by Friday and that's going to make me feel better. And sometimes it's a little open-ended and that's okay. It's just about thinking about what's your priority this week, rather than, you know, saying I have to absolutely get this done today. I try to think of it more as a weekly guardrail, because sometimes that's just easier for me to kind of go through my week. It can be hard, but I think the idea of reverse engineering from this, you know, beautifully poetic 650K, because we've decided for you, Tom, that you're going to try and go for 650K now. reverse engineering it and then going forward from that, I think is a great way to look at it. And you can look at it week to week. It doesn't even have to be, breaking it down day to day might feel overwhelming.
Right.
To get two clients, you know, a day, that might feel a bit intimidating, but doing it the way I think Kevin says is a nice way of looking at it. Just these little dominoes. Much more bite size.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah.
I think that's the last question we have this week, and we're running a little short on time. What do we got coming up next week, Tara?
Next week, we have the CEO of Medifast, Daniel Chard, and he's going to talk about his new company, Optavia, and he's going to discuss kind of their approach to selling, which is much less salesy, I think. So it's nice to listen to, because it's not like an aggressive salesperson type of vibe that they put out. And I found that really interesting. Then we have a U.S. Army Major, Joe Byerly, for a two-part interview, because it was quite long. That's going to be on Tuesday and Wednesday. And he's going to kind of give us his greatest leadership tips. And it was surprising. I really enjoyed his interview. I thought it was super cool. Because I guess I just always expect Army people to be so, you know, harsh and hard and organized by the book. He was much more relaxed and kind of like, hey,
yeah, you know, very casual, very real. And same thing. Like, I have a world of respect for him and others who serve. And I have sort of that stereotype of the military. And he's, you know, just very, very friendly and accessible. And, you know, Joe Byerly started a leadership book club, Tara. And I just sent him an email today saying, hey, you know, tell me the the book you guys are reading for November. I'll try to read it and we'll see if we could do a follow-up episode.
Oh, we should, because, yeah, I really enjoyed that. I thought that was really informative. And then we have John Jonas, who is the entrepreneur who claims to work only 17 hours a week, which is amazing. And he's going to talk about kind of how he utilizes virtual assistants and like how you can kind of make that work in your favor. So that's going to be all next week.
Awesome. So friends, before we wrap up, don't forget, go to leadx.org/subscribe to subscribe to the show and leave a quick rating for the LeadX show on iTunes, and go to leadx.org/askkevin to submit your question for this weekly show. Anything else, Tara? We just burned through that one again. It seems to go so fast, these weekly shows.
I know. It's been really fun, though, and I hope Tom's ready for his big, audacious 65, you know, 65-year-old birthday. And
exactly.
Revenue.
We just stretch it. It's gonna warn people not to share their goals with us, because we're just going to make them even bigger.
Make them poetic.
Make them poetic. That's the message of the day. Until next week, remember, leadership is not a choice, because leadership is influence. We are all leading all of the time. Be mindful and lead with intent.